In Genesis chapter 45 tonight, Genesis chapter 45. We'll just read one verse of scripture. This is our Old Testament book we're traveling through, right in the middle of the life of Joseph. I hope you're enjoying this study with me. And the Lord's blessing it, the Lord's using it. We trust He'll use this message tonight. Genesis chapter 45. We would like for you to go back and get all the messages. If you'd like to get all the messages in Genesis, that'd be a great thing. Genesis chapter 45. We'll just read verse number 3 tonight, dive into the message here. Genesis 45, verse 3, first book of the Bible. Here we go. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. I want to preach to you on the three words, I am Joseph. I am Joseph. The day has finally arrived. He's revealing himself to his ungodly brothers that they used to be in the past. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us, I pray. May the will of God be done in this service. Speak to our hearts. Change us from your word. And I pray, Lord God, that you'll speak to us in a clear way. Somebody's here that's come to church but has never accepted Christ. May tonight be the glorious night where they say yes, I pray. And I pray that we who are saved, help us to see the responsibility that you've given us. May the will of God be done. Forgive my sins. Help me to be clean, please. In Jesus' name, amen. As we approach this chapter, we're reminded of the events that have taken place. If you remember, Joseph's brothers have been standing before him without knowing who he was. Joseph commanded that all their money be put back into their sacks along with sufficient food for their families. However, Joseph was still dealing with his brothers to see if they had truly changed in their heart towards him and towards even their younger brother Benjamin. He had his servant place his silver cup into Benjamin's sack. Now, we just preached on this Wednesday night. You can go back and get it. As these brothers left, we can only imagine how relieved they must have been and how enthused they must have been, because when they went back to Egypt, they weren't sure how they were going to be treated. But now they have Benjamin among them. They have Simeon restored back to them. And they are on their way back home. Things are going great. However, Joseph's servant overtook them and asked them why they had taken Joseph's silver cup. They had no idea what this servant was speaking about, so they hurriedly lowered their sacks to clear themselves because they were so confident that nobody among their family had the silver cup of Joseph. But to their surprise, the silver cup was found in the sack of Benjamin. And what horror must have gripped their hearts at this moment, because this was the brother that their father said, make sure he comes home with you. And these brothers all went back to Joseph's palace where Joseph confronted him about taking his cup. Keep in mind, all along, they have no idea that they're talking to their brother. When all was said and done, Joseph told these brothers that they were free to go home, but that Benjamin would have to stay as his own personal servant. Now see, if these brothers had not changed from the way they treated him over 20 years ago, they would have taken off toward home grateful to be done with another one of their father's favored sons, you see. But we saw how Judah came near to Joseph, again not realizing who he was, and he rehearsed how this story unfolded and how he had become a surety for Benjamin to his father. He went on to express, and this is how the chapter 44 basically comes to an end. He went on to express his care for his father. We're talking about Judah. And then he offered to stay as Joseph's slave in order that Benjamin could be set free and be sent back home to his daddy. That's where we pick up with chapter number 45. And there's three things tonight I want you to see. And I want to listen. I hope you came to church tonight wanting God to speak to you. May I say this to you? I came tonight wanting God to speak to me. I'm the pastor. I'm the one speaking, but I trust the Holy Spirit through my own message is going to deal with my own heart. God wants to speak to us. Let's ask Him to do so, number one. The first thing I want you to see with me tonight is the revelation. We see the revelation. Now, we see this in verses 1 and following. Follow along with me, chapter 45. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me, and there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. He wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled, afraid, scared to death at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father, and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. Thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. Behold, your eyes see in the eyes of my brother Benjamin that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that ye have seen. And ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. May I tell you that this is one of the most touching and moving scenes to me personally in the entire Word of God. This man has been treated wrongly by his brothers. This man was sold into slavery over 20 years ago by these same brothers. They wanted nothing to do with him. They wanted to kill him, and they ended up selling him for 30 pieces of silver. He's been separated from his family, been separated from his brothers, been separated from his true brother, Benjamin. He's gone into Potiphar's house, and there he served God faithfully. And yet Potiphar's wife, she was a wicked woman. She tried to get him, excuse me, to do things with her that unmarried people should not do. And he refused. He said, how can I do this and sin against God? He stood right, but yet Potiphar's wife accused him falsely, and Potiphar's husband ended up throwing him into prison unjustly. He's in there for several years, and while he's there, the butler and baker come in, have a dream, and he rightly interprets it. And he tells the butler, he said, don't forget me. And the butler forgot him for 2 years. He's sitting in prison for 2 years, he's forgotten. He comes out because Pharaoh has a dream, and the butler soon remembers. We've preached on all this. We see the timing of God in all of it, friends. But God divinely reached down and reminded the butler of Joseph, the Hebrew servant slave in prison. Pharaoh brings him out at a time that would be right for him to assume the lordship of the land. And you know the story, how Pharaoh brings him out. He interprets the dream. Pharaoh sees the hand of God upon his life, and Pharaoh makes him lord over all the land of Egypt. Now his brothers come. They think he's dead by their own, by Judah's own language in chapter 44. They thought Joseph was dead. But little did they know that they were standing before Joseph, the one that they had mistreated. He is listening to all of this. He's putting them through the test. We've preached on it now, but he's putting them through the test to make sure that their hearts change, to see if they're the same kind of men that they were, the same kind of boys that they were over 20 years ago. And Joseph is starting to see some things. And I'm telling you here that now Joseph has it in his power. Now get this, friends, to do anything he wants to them. He can do anything he desires. And all I'm saying to you is what a dramatic event that takes place. The Bible says after Judah came to him and fell down before him, whatever the case was there, and offered to take his brother's place so he could be set free, the Bible says Joseph couldn't contain himself anymore. He had everybody out from me, get out, get out. He commanded all people to get out from his presence while he revealed himself to his brothers. And may I say to you that when he saw the change in their heart, that he couldn't help but reveal his true identity. Let me say right here, friends, that through this process of purging, I'm talking about the famine that God sent that purged his brothers and that revealed their true identity and how they had changed in their own heart's attitude. Let me say this loud and clear, that without the process of chapters 42, 43, and 44, there would never be a revelation in chapter 45. The Bible says Joseph was weeping aloud. He was crying out loud. And he said to his brothers, I am Joseph. What a moving, moving scene. There's several things about this revelation I want you to see. And as we look at this revelation of Joseph before his ungodly brothers, Joseph before the brothers that had done him so wrong, Joseph before the brothers that were not worthy to even stand in his presence. Let me remind you that Joseph is an accurate picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this being the case, as we look at Joseph revealing himself to his brothers, I want you to think about these same things about how the Lord Jesus reveals himself to us who are sinful men. Number one, under this is under point one, the revelation. First of all, under this, his revelation, it involved his invitation. Notice verse number four. In verse number three, it says they were troubled at his presence. Look it up. It basically means they were scared to death. Let me ask you a question, wouldn't you be? If you realize that this is the brother that you had stabbed in the back, that this is the brother that you had spit on, and this is the brother that now stands as Lord over all the land where you have come to feed your family, and you realize all he's got to do is say the word, and he can take your life if he so chooses. They are scared. They are frightened at his presence. But notice what he did in verse number four. His revelation involved an invitation. Joseph said to his brothers, here it is, come near to me. Come near to me. What I'm saying to you is the Bible says that when Joseph revealed himself to these brothers, they were troubled at his presence. These brothers were scared to death at his revelation. They were now standing in the presence of the one whom they had betrayed and sold for 30 pieces of silver. They see him now in all of his glory, you see. And they see him standing as Lord over the land. And they are frightened. But notice what Joseph did. He did not say, away with you. Get out of my sight. He didn't say that. He said, come near to me. Come closer to me. This was his way of saying, I don't want you to run away. I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to come closer than you are now. It involved an invitation. Number two, it involved his comfort. Not only his invitation, but his comfort. We see this in verses 5 through 8. I've already read that, so you can read it here if you want to while I'm giving the explanation. But we can only imagine how frightened these brothers really must have been. You can only imagine how afraid they must have been as they were in the sight of the one that they had treated so wrong. Now he's standing in a position to take revenge if he wants to do that. Have a notice how Joseph calmed their fears. And he comforted their hearts concerning all of it. As a matter of fact, he said this. He said, don't be grieved with what you did. He went a step further and said, don't even be angry with yourselves for what you did, because your evil intentions, God turned it around and used it for good. That's what he's saying here. He's saying what you thought was going to destroy my life, God has used it to preserve your life. This is what he's saying. He's noticing the hand of God in all of this. Joseph went on to say how God had not only sent him there, but it also, he was the one who put him in the high position. And in this, we see how Joseph spoke peace and assurance to these undeserving brothers. Hey, with his language, he could have scared them worse than they were. He could have said, are you ready for about what you're getting ready to hear? He could have said, or just looked at them and not said a word at all. But immediately he says, you sold me, but God sent me. You meant it for evil. Later on he says, but God meant it. What am I saying? With his words, he calmed them down. You think we can apply that to the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe, friends? I'm talking about the very Word of God and how it speaks to us. By the way, let me ask you a question here. How could Joseph respond this way? Let me tell you how he responded this way. Because he saw God's hand bigger than any human being's hand. What I'm saying to you is, because he saw the hand of God in all of these things. Hey, listen to me, please. People misunderstand this. Is it God's will for others to treat others wrong? Yes or no? No! It is never God's will for sin. Never. But we serve a God that is not deterred or derailed because of man's decisions, friends. We serve a God that even if man sins against us, the hand of God can take the very thing and make it one of the best things that's ever happened in our lives. Joseph recognized this. He looked beyond his brothers and he saw a mighty God trying to use this very deed to preserve life and even the life of his own father and of these own brothers. One person put it this way, God wants to bring every one of us to the place where we remove all secondary causes and see him at work in our lives. Another person put it this way, he saw divine providence more than devilish persecution in his trials. Such perspective brings victory in trial because it stops bitterness, the great slayer of the tried. Here's what I'm saying. How you see your trials will determine how you respond to your trials. How you see it will determine how you respond to it. I can't believe God's letting this happen to me. If you respond to your trials that way, you will live a life of defeat. You will live a life of discouragement. You'll live a life of depression, and you'll live a life of bitterness. But when you look beyond the trial and say, I don't understand this, God, but I do understand you, that you are bigger than this, and that you can use this to help me, you can use this to put me where I need to be, you are worthy to be praised, then it helps you respond with, don't be grieved. Don't be angry. You sold me, but God was sending. I'm telling you that his revelation involved his invitation, come near. His revelation involved not only his invitation, but it involved his comfort. He spoke words of comfort to them. Number three, his revelation involved his command. We see this in verse 9 and verse 11. Notice how he says, haste ye, go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all of Egypt. Verse number 13, ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt. See, once Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, he then commanded them to go and tell his father that he is still alive and he's doing well and that he is now the Lord in the land of Egypt. Joseph, get this, had a desire to be with his father again, and he wanted his brothers to be the ones who took that news to him. See, his revelation involved his command. He wanted others to know about him. He wanted others to hear about his glory and hear that he is Lord over all the land. And he's now commanding those who see it in their own eyes to obey his command and take his message to others. You think where I may go with that in just a moment? Number four, this is all under the revelation. It involved his promises, verses 10 and verse 11. Joseph told his brothers that they can dwell in the land of Goshen. He said, if you come, you can be near to me. And there in Goshen, I'll nourish you and I'll take care of your families. In this, we see how Joseph shared his personal promises with his brothers to assure them of his protection. He said, listen, if you obey me, if you submit to me and obey me, and listen to what I'm telling you to do, and go home, bring my daddy, get your families, bring them here, I promise you I'll take care of you. I promise you, I'll let you stay near to me and I will nourish you during this famine. I'm telling you that Joseph knew that there were 5 more years of famine, but he personally gave his brothers his word that if you trust me and obey my commands, even when the world's suffering with famine, I'll feast you. I'll put food on your table. I'll take care of you and your family. Number five under this, it involved his compassion and forgiveness. We see this in verses 14 and 15. The Bible says in verse number 14 that he went up to his brother Benjamin, grabbed him around the neck, fell on his neck, wept. But verse number 15 is what really speaks to me. The Bible says, moreover, he kissed all of his brethren and wept upon them. Let me ask you a question. Is that how you respond to somebody who treats you wrong? Is that how I respond to somebody who treats me wrong? See, in these verses, we see how Joseph showed great compassion for these brothers. And he showed great forgiveness to them as well. He fell upon Benjamin's neck and wept. That's logical. That's his real brother, you see. Benjamin had nothing to do with the selling of him. But then the Bible says he kissed all of his brethren. And he wept upon all of them. That's love, friends. That's forgiveness. F.B. Meyer put it this way. He kissed all his brethren. Simeon? Question mark. Yes. Reuben? Question mark. Yes. Those who had tied his hands and mocked his cries? Question. Yes. He kissed them all. Now before we go to the next point, because we're looking at the revelation. By the way, that's the longest point, so relax. But as we looked at the revelation tonight of Joseph couldn't take it any longer, he just came to the point where he said, get away from me. I've got to let them know who I am. Hey, wouldn't you like for God, I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're saved, he's already revealed himself to you somewhat. But wouldn't you like for Jesus Christ to like so much what he sees in you that he says, I can't help but share with him more of who I am. I'm going to show him a little bit more of who he's got talking to him right now. Get humble before God. The revelation. Before we go on, let me apply this in two ways. Obviously, we apply Joseph to Jesus. That just as he invited his brothers to come closer to him, even though they didn't deserve it, they had betrayed him. Friends, we betrayed Jesus. We crucified the Lord. We did things to Jesus a lot worse than Joseph's brothers did to him. And yet Jesus said, draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to thee. Jesus said, just like Joseph did, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Just like Joseph in his revelation comforted their fear with his word, when you get afraid, it's amazing how God speaks to you through his word. Just as he commanded them to take his glory and take his position and go tell others, Jesus has commanded us to do the same. Just as he gave them promises that if you live in obedience to me, I'll take care of you, Jesus has promised us that he'll take care of us as well. And just as he showed compassion and forgiveness to these who did not deserve it, the Lord at Calvary has wrapped his arms around our necks, has wept upon our necks, and has kissed us over and over again, saying, I love you and I forgive you. Where would we be without the forgiveness of God? Where would we be without the love of God? So we apply it to the Lord, but secondly, quickly, we're going to move on. We apply it to our lives. That just when trials and happen in our lives, when people do us wrong and stab us in the back and all these kind of things, hey, just as Joseph forgave his brothers, even so should we, even though how hard it may be, we should ask God to help us forgive them and respond in like manner. Let me tell you why we should do that, because that's how he did for us. God never asks us to do anything that he's not set the ultimate example in himself. Nobody can treat you as bad as we've treated him. And yet when you ask forgiveness, he forgave you. When you came to him, he had every right to speak a word and destroy us immediately. After all, he has glory, you see. After all, he's the Lord of all the lands, you see. But instead of doing what we deserve, he showed grace and he showed mercy. Romans chapter 12, verses 17 to 21 teaches this. Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 to 48 also teach us this, that we're to be forgiving to others. Number one, the revelation. Number two, let me show you the responsibility. Not only the revelation, but number two, let's notice the responsibility. Look at verse number 16. The fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lade your beasts, and go, get you unto the land of Canaan. Take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take your wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones, and for your wives, and bring your father, and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. The children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man change of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. The Bible tells us how the fame of this meeting between Joseph and his brothers was heard even in Pharaoh's house. Pharaoh was pleased with this. He was encouraged by this, and his servants were as well. And Pharaoh spoke to Joseph and told him this. He said, I want you to tell your brothers to do something. I want you to tell them to go back home, take their father and their families, and come back to Egypt. And when they come back here, they can live off the land. I'm going to give them all the good land. Tell them, don't even regard your stuff. Don't even worry about your things, because everything we have is theirs. Glory. Everything I've got, I'm going to give it to them. Verse number 19, he says, you are commanded for this. He sent wagons to bring their little ones to take their wives and father. He told them to regard not their stuff, because all the good of the land of Egypt was theirs. The Bible says Joseph gave them provision for the way. Finally, he told them not to fall out by the way. You know what that means? He's saying, listen, when you leave my presence, don't you start bickering. Listen, don't you start bickering with one another. Don't you start saying it was your fault, or I can't believe you did that 20 years ago. He's saying, when you leave my presence, you make sure you stay unified. You make sure you don't fall out by the way. You keep your eyes on the command that I've given you. And you make sure that you don't trip up along the way home. What similarities we see here, friends. In all of these, we see that once they had Joseph revealed to them in all of his glory, they saw him standing as Lord over all the land, and they saw his mighty glory before them, and how he showed them grace and mercy, and he showed them love and kindness, and he comforted them, and he settled them down and invited them to get closer to him. Then he said, okay, I have done that for you. Now I am making you responsible to me. Here's your responsibility. Go home and tell your family. Go home and tell my daddy. They were to go and share with their father how Joseph was alive and how he was well. In the provision for the trip there and back, the Bible says that Joseph gave him wagons. Joseph gave him provision. And this just goes to show, as one man said, the endowment, the enabling, the gifts are part of the command to serve him. In other words, he didn't just tell him to go get them. He gave him what he needed to get the job done. He said, here are the wagons. Here's the provision. I'm going to make sure that you have everything in your hands that you need to fulfill my desire. This is what he's doing. We see from verses 9 and 13 how his message was to be fervent. He said, haste ye and do this. You know what that means? He said, hurry up. Don't wait around. Do it now. He's saying, be fervent about this. You see it's me. It's my voice. You see me in all my glory. You see me as Lord in the land. Now hurry up and go tell others about me that I'm alive, I'm well, I'm kicking, I am sufficient, I can take care of you. This is where he's going with this. Immediately after Joseph made himself known to his brothers, he enlisted them into his service. By the way, it was only fitting that they should serve him, for Joseph had been most gracious to them and blessed them. They had terribly mistreated Joseph, But he had graciously forgiven them and provided them with unmerited blessing rather than merited condemnation. Therefore, the brothers were indeed obligated to serve Joseph. Not a word of protest should come from their lips. To serve Joseph, get this, was their reasonable service. After forgiving grace should come faithful service. After a merciful revelation from Joseph should come much responsibility to Joseph. The application here is obvious. That after the goodness of the Lord Jesus has shown in our lives, after we come to Him and we realize He is the Lord of all creation, He is God of very gods, and even though we crucified Him, He in His grace, in His mercy, in His love, in His compassion, in His forgiveness, He has reached out to us. And He has forgiven us. And now He says, I have a desire. And my desire is that what you know to be true, you tell others about it. Let us see our reasonable service. Just as Joseph wanted his message to be spread to others, even so the Lord Jesus desires His message to be spread, and all God's children are responsible for that, just like Joseph's brothers were. As the chorus goes, after all He's done for me, how can I do less than give Him my best and live for Him completely? Friends, if Jesus Christ has saved you, we have a responsibility to go and tell others what verse number 26 says in our text, and that is this: Joseph is yet alive. And we are to go and spread the nation, I'm talking about around the nations, that Jesus Christ is still alive. He's still kicking. He's doing fine. He's still the Lord of the land. He is over all. He has everything you need. And He's given us the responsibility to take that message that we know is true and share it with other people around the world. I'm telling you, this is our responsibility. Joseph said, you know who I am. Look at how I'm treating you. Now I have a responsibility for you. Go tell my daddy. Go tell your families that your brother is the Lord of everything. And may I tell you that if you are saved today, Jesus Christ is your brother. And I'm telling you that He is over all. He's the Lord of creation. Number three, in closing, we not only see the revelation and the responsibility, but number three, we see the response. We see this in verse 25 and following. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, and he said unto them, and when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived, and he said, it is enough. Glory. Can you imagine that daddy? Thought his boy was dead. And he finds out my boy is alive. And he's the Lord of the land of Egypt. He said, it's enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go see him before I die. In these verses, we see these brothers obeyed their orders. They went back home and they announced, Joseph is yet alive. He's the governor of all the land. Now get this, Jacob at first didn't believe them. But they knew the truth. Their message wasn't believed at first, but they knew the truth about it. See, they had seen him themselves. They had experienced his grace. And they knew that they had the truth. So what did they do? As soon as it says he believed them not, verse 26, verse 27 says, and they told him all the words that Joseph told them. You know what they did? They just kept giving truth. They kept on giving it, kept on giving it. Finally, when Jacob saw the wagons that Joseph had sent, he said, that's it, it's enough. That's enough evidence. Good night. It has to be Joseph. I want to give you two things in closing here. First of all, the brothers responded with obedience. After they experienced Joseph's grace and mercy in their lives, they immediately responded to his desire to have his message of being yet alive to his father. Now, friends, listen to me. Let this help you. Let this help you. I realize that the devil attacks soul winning. I know that. I understand that. I know all of that. There's a reason he does. Because he wants as many people to burn in hell as possible. And I know that there are people listening to me right now that you're scared to death to take a gospel tract and hand it to somebody. You're scared to death to knock on a door. You're scared to death to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, friends. When you realize what Jesus has done for you, and you hear his desire, what you know to be true, please go tell others. It is ridiculous. It is sinful if we do not obey. You say, Jody, you preach on soul winning all the time. You make me feel bad. Listen, if you don't like feeling bad about not going soul winning, excuse me, friends, you're in the wrong place. I'm not out to make friends. I'm out to obey a command. And I know in my heart, and you do too, that Jesus Christ deserves anything that he tells us to do. And he's saying, just like Joseph, you see that it's me. You know what I've done for you. Now you are commanded. Go home and tell everybody you see. Now I'm convicted right there, friends. I'm not the soul winner I need to be. I can't tell you how many people. Hey, just a week or two ago, there were three separate people that God said, give a track, and I said, no. Your pastor. Give that man a track. No. Witness to him. No. No. Three men the same day. I share that with you, not so you judge me, but so you see I'm a human being. And I got on my face and I said, God, I am sorry. And I said, Lord, I commit to you. If you'll open the door with those same three men, I promise you, I promise you, I'll share my faith and I'll witness to them. A few days later, I was walking out to my truck. And there was one of the men walking down the street that I had said no to. And as soon as I saw him, God said, there you go, big boy. So I went out to the mailbox, made sure, you know, to see if I had any mail. It was a tactic of mine, you see. Here he came, introduced myself, started talking to him. Fine gentleman. I handed him a gospel tract, invited him to church. And the sweet Holy Spirit just flooded my soul saying, thank you. I'm not perfect. I trip up like anybody else. Let me tell you why we say no? Fear. But when you really know who Joseph is, and you really have his glory on your mind and on your heart, and you're really enthralled with what he's done in your life, nothing can get you to say no, friends. They obeyed. Secondly, they were persistent. I've already said this. Let me just touch it here. That as soon as they gave the message to Jacob, he didn't believe them. So you know what they did? They kept giving him the message. This is a great lesson for us to learn here. That, listen, friends, even if they don't believe it, we know it's the truth. Amen or not tonight, friends? We know it's the truth. So even if they reject it, they don't believe it, you keep on giving them truth. Keep on giving it. One person said, the acceptance of a message by man does not determine the validity of it. And after Jacob saw the wagons, he finally believed. The point is, these brothers knew the truth and didn't stop giving the message when their father did not believe it. These brothers were commissioned to go and tell the truth about Joseph being alive. about Joseph's glory and about Joseph's exalted position. This message, in the middle of a famine, would turn that famine into a feast, you see. And in the same way, so has every child of God been commissioned to share these same three things. Hey, you tell him I'm alive. You tell him of my glory, and you tell him that I am the Lord over all creation. Luke 24, 34, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. He's alive, friends. His glory, Hebrews 13, 21, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. His exalted position, Philippians 2, 9 and 10, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, at the name of Christ, the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. These brothers had evidenced a changed heart before Joseph, and he could not refrain himself any longer from them. Joseph revealed himself in such a gracious and loving way. This put a tremendous responsibility upon their shoulders to share this message with their family, and that's exactly what they did. If you're a child of God, please see the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he desires to reveal himself to you and then reveal himself through you. If you're a child of God, please see your responsibility to take his message to a lost and dying world. Here's how I close this message. If you're saved, let's report for duty. Your wish is my command. And my answer is yes, sir. After all you've done for me, surely I can give my best to thee. Do you understand this thought, friends? Do you get this chapter? Let's obey it all of our days on this earth. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you. Thank you for this service. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be more like you. Help us, Lord God, to see your grace and mercy in our lives. Help us to be more like Jesus as a result of this service than we were when we came in. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. As soon as they get prepared there, they begin to play through softly. Question number one. This Jesus Christ that I'm talking about, that Joseph is only a picture of, he's only a type of Jesus. See, Joseph was fallible. Joseph was a human being. Joseph was not perfect, but Jesus Christ is. But yet, just like Joseph responded to his brothers, Jesus Christ has done that in a much greater way with sinners. He loves you today. He cares for you. If you're not a Christian, he wants to save you. Is there one tonight say, Jody, I don't know this Jesus. Or I'm concerned that if I died like I am, or if Jesus Christ came back to this earth, I am concerned that I am not a child of God. Maybe you're doubting, or maybe you know that you're lost. If you're here tonight and say, Jody, pray for me, please. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do that for anything in the world. But if you're here tonight and say, Jody, pray for me, I am not sure I'm saved. I am not sure that heaven is my home. I'm not sure of that. Be honest, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Is there anybody like that? Say, pray for me, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Let me ask you this question, question number two. Is there somebody, I'm talking to Christians now, is there somebody in this life that you need to show grace to? Just like Joseph showed grace to his brothers who really didn't deserve it, is there somebody in this life that really doesn't deserve it, but God's speaking to you saying, you know, if Joseph did it, so can you, because if I can help Joseph through what he went through, you know I can help you with what you've gone through. Have you say, Jody, pray for me. There's somebody I need to show grace to. God is speaking to me about that. I need to forgive them. I need to show grace to them. I need to show mercy to them. And God helping me, that's what I want to do. Have y'all, God is speaking to you in that way. Would you raise your hand in the air with me? God bless you. Thank you for being honest. Just a moment, I want you to come and pray. Talk to God about it. Nobody's forced you to do that. That's between you and the Lord. But anytime God speaks to you, you ought to come. Ask God to help you with it. Question three. Christian, how are you doing with your responsibility? Hey, I failed the Lord this week. Same day, three times. Pop, pop, pop. Hey, has it it ever happened to you? It happened to me. God has given me one of those three back, and I'm asking Him for the other two if He sees fit. If not, He can send somebody to them. I just missed my responsibility that day. Have you say, Jody, I see my responsibility. I understand this. I see that just like Joseph, I'm talking about the heavenly Joseph, Jesus has shown so much grace to me and mercy to me and allowed me to come near to Him. God is speaking to me about fulfilling my responsibility. He wants me to go tell others about Him. I've not been doing that the way I should. God's speaking to me. God is speaking to me. And I see my responsibility. Have you say, Jody, God is speaking to me in that way. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air with me? You say, God is speaking to me about my responsibility. Have you say, Jody, I am fulfilling my responsibility. Be very careful. Be very careful. Have you say, Jody, I'm fulfilling my responsibility. I'm telling people about the Lord. I don't think there's anything else I can do. Nothing else. Have y'all feel that way about it? Would you raise your hand? You feel like there's nothing else you can do? Thank you. Then let me ask the question again. Have you all, God is speaking to you about your responsibility? Have you all, God is saying, listen, I know you're afraid, I know you're scared, but after all I've done for you, am I not worthy? By the way, He's promised if you go, I'll go with you. It's just a matter of obedience. Have you say, Jody, again, I'm giving you an opportunity to be responsive here. Have you say, Jody, again, God is speaking to about obeying my responsibility to tell others about Christ. Would you raise your hand in the air with me, please? God bless you. I'm not trying to formulate numbers here, but I am trying to teach you to respond. However it is, may the Lord use it in a mighty way. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take this thought, use it, I pray. In Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing, if God is speaking to you, come now, talk to God.
All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior.
Brother Gary, if nobody else comes, we'll be through.
All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all.
Father, we love You and thank You for this service. Pray that You'll use it in a mighty way. Pray for preparation for Wednesday night, that You'll flood my heart. Prepare us for the message then. Sunday morning, Sunday night, may the will of God be done. Pray, Lord, You bless these precious people. Help us to obey our responsibility. Help me to do that. Forgive me for where I failed. May the will of God be done. In Jesus' name. As they're playing through, let me give you some final instructions. If you're visiting with us tonight, please take your visitor's card to the Welcome Center. There's a lot of sign-up sheets going on. I need to just see. Let me go ahead and take care of this right now. How many of you all here tonight would say, I would like and I'm planning to go to Ambassador Baptist College for Brother Gary? Would you raise your hand? You're planning to do that. Brother Bob, if you'll help me count these, Brother Gary, if you'll take that section right there. Just hold it up real high, folks. I can't see this, okay? Hold it up real high. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, got 8 here. 8, 10, and 9. Somebody remember that? Great. You've got the Nova Scotia meeting, and you've got the teen parent meeting for England. Is that everything else? Is that all? Is that it? God bless you, folks. Love you. Hey, let's fulfill our responsibility this week. Amen. May the Lord help us with this, okay? God bless you.